My name is Roderick Bain, and I went into the Army in 1942, joining the 101st Airborne Division. A group of paratroopers were going to jump into German-held territory.
You enlisted in 1942 in Spokane?
1942, I enlisted in Seattle, Washington. I was attending the University of Washington in Seattle, and when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor in December, I didn't go into the Army right away. I waited until I had finished the school year, and then I went in. There was a recruiting station right across the street from where I was working in a service station. And the sergeant there said, come back in a month. You take a break, and then you can go into the Army. And that's what I did. I went home for a month and joined up, enlisted.
Easy Company formed in 1942.
The E Company? Yeah, the airborne units were brand spanking new. Just innovation for in World War II to have people jump into combat.
What prompted you to choose a unit that was going in an airplane and then jumping out?
Yeah, that is rather strange because I'd never been in an airplane before I jumped out. But when you're 22, you can conquer the world. There's no problem.
Did you have like basic training and then join up with the company?
No. We started out in Toccoa, Georgia, which is the northwest corner of Georgia. And it's a real wooded area way out. There was hardly any civilization out there. They had to build barracks for us, simple barracks. And we started training right there. That was where we started, running up a mountain called Kurahi. And if you could climb that mountain and make it okay, you'd stay in. But if you fell out, they would ship you over to the tank corps or the regular infantry.
So you were a good runner.
That was a strange group. It's still a strange group. There's only about 25 of us left. In fact, during the war, we lost 61 men killed. They never made it back. And the strange thing about that situation is that we trained for almost 2 years before we made that one jump into Normandy. And in the regular infantry, they just got young men together and gave them a couple of months training and shoved them in the front line. And here we are living together for 2 solid years, so help me. So we got to know each other real well.
Was that good or bad?
I think it was all right. You got to know the people. Men from all over the United States, from Florida and California, and we had one from way up in Maine, and then there was 4 or 5 of us from the Northwest. But the company total was only about 130 men. And we got along pretty good together.
Were most of the guys, were they just regular citizens before the war? Did you have to get to the officers before you found anybody who was West Point or regular Army?
Most of the officers were 90-day wonders. They came into the Army and they went into their Army training and received a certificate that said that they were second lieutenants, and that's about it. We had a group called the Cadre, and there were 3 sergeants, and they were old men, according to us, because we were all in our early 20s. And they showed the officers and the enlisted men what to do and to get through everything.
Do you remember their names?
The one of them was Sergeant Kudla, but I can't remember the other two.
So you went over to England, and then you spent more time training there.
Oh, yeah. To make a long story short, after training for about 3 months, we walked from Toccoa to Atlanta, Georgia, which is over 100 miles, and we did it in real short order in order to beat the Japanese marching record.
The Japanese had a marching record?
Yeah, they had a marching record, yeah, and we beat that. Then we got on the train and went down to Fort Benning, Georgia, where we took parachute training. And that's where we made our 5 jumps and became qualified paratroopers.
How did you feel there at the door of the plane and the first time you were going out?
Yeah, it was kind of scary, really. The first one wasn't all that easy, but after that, it wasn't bad. I made 17 jumps altogether. That would be 15 practice jumps and 2 combat jumps. Combat jumps, one in Normandy and one in Holland.
You were part of the Market Garden?
Yeah, in Holland, yes, we sure were.
When you jumped into Normandy, what was the feeling? It was something you had trained 2 years to do, but you were going into a...
We had made a couple of night jumps in England, so we were more or less familiar with what was going on, jumping into complete darkness. In that first jump we made at night, there was a plane from another company, D Company, was on our right flank, and they flew so close the wingtips that almost touched each other. And lo and behold, that the engine on that plane, one of the engines went out. And the captain was flying the plane and said, "You guys better get out of here, you better jump now." So they all decided to jump, but they didn't hook up the main parachute. They used the spare parachute right here, and you had to jump out and then pull it by yourself. And that was something else.
So you hit the ground, airborne guys landed, and it wasn't like you had a line. You were kind of out there all by yourself.
Yeah, we sure were. One must remember that this was 1:30 in the morning. It was dark jumping out. I was lucky to land in a small little apple orchard with tall grass. The grass is quite tall in Normandy in June. So I pulled my chute down and, you know, hid my chute and then started chopping away my way out of the harnesses. It took me about 5 minutes to get out. We had so much equipment on.
Then you connected with the other guys?
We started looking around, and I finally found one fellow. And he and I took off. And gradually, we started gathering men. So we had 8 or 10. 10 of us finally got together by daylight. We were still a long way from our objective. There's 4 roads coming up from the beach that we had to control. And we started down toward the beach and trying to control the one road that was close to us. It was kind of interesting because on the way down there, the Americans came off the beach in their boats and stuff, you know. They came in by water. We met them halfway down the road. That was kind of nice.
And reassuring?
Yes, yes. Get a mass of bodies around you.
How many days did you fight off Normandy?
We were about 29 days. And we walked down to the beach and got on one of the many transports and went back to England. And because we lost so many men, in fact, one of our planes was shot down and we lost the company commander and the first sergeant in that plane, plus about 14 more men. So we had to go back. and start rebuilding the company because we lost so many men. And these new recruits came in, and they had to be trained. So instead of getting a break there, we have to go right back into working hard again to soldiering.
The guys you lost, you said you lost a lot. Trained for 2 years, you were so close.
That's pretty hard. It's really pretty hard to take. You lose so many men. Losing 60 men is heartbreaking.
And you guys went from there to being dropped into Holland.
We got back to England in, June 4th. In early July, and then we started training those rookies that came in. Although we did get about a 10-day furlough before we went into Holland. And I went up north to Scotland. My grandmother was up there. My grandmother and my aunt was up there. So that was kind of interesting. My aunt was the last one born. And the rest of them, about eight of her brothers and sisters, they took off to the United States, and she was left there taking care of her mother. But I did make two trips up to Scotland to see my grandmother.
You guys fought in Holland. We fought in Normandy, fought in Holland.
We were 70 days in Holland, and it was kind of nice because we got to stay in houses all the time. That was nice. There's a lot of apples to eat and other fruits. We were under General Montgomery, who was a British general, and consequently we had to eat English food, which was very, very poor. But anyway, after battling the Germans in the Holland, I said, what do we do? Oh yeah, we took some trucks and went back to France, and we didn't lose too many men in Holland, but we started training again and getting ready to go wherever they were going to put us.
So this would have been towards winter then, getting.
Yeah, it was. Well, we jumped in there on September 17th, October 17th, November 17th. Yeah, you're right. Winter was coming. Winter in Holland means a lot of rain. If you're in Holland, you have to put up with a lot of rain. We were there for over two months and then went back to France and started training again with some more rookies.
Was your unit in the Battle of the Bulge?
Yeah, I'm afraid so. We were surrounded there in Bastogne. The whole division was surrounded, and we held on. It was very cold, snow on the ground, and we dug foxholes, and we must have seen those foxholes for about 3 weeks before we finally got out of there. That was really miserable. And that place was bad because there were no houses you could get into. Not even a barn where you could warm up. Just stayed in that foxhole. They knew exactly where we were because we were surrounded, and they kept peppering us with artillery shells, which is nothing but terrifying. Terrifying.
Was that the worst that you encountered in the war?
Yes, it was.
The unit you wound up in Hitler's loft in Berchtesgaden?
Yeah, we started going south and stopped at a place called Haganau on the Moder River, which is a tributary of the Rhine. The Germans were on one side of the river and we were on the other. We were probably 50, 60 yards apart. But very little action there. And after that, we went back to France again and then started lining up, getting some equipment and heading south, pushing the Germans south. So the first thing you know, we're we are ended up in Austria, which is a very beautiful country. It's just as beautiful as Alaska. Snow-capped mountain peaks and glaciers came through there and rounded out the valleys. And then there's trees up on the sides and snow on top. It was really a picturesque place. So we were there for a couple of months, and then we started back to France again, and then we dispersed and came home.
Then were you in Europe yet when VJ Day?
Yes, that's right. You sure were.
When you heard that, you knew that your combat was over. You didn't have to go around the world and continue.
That's right. We didn't have to go to Japan.
So you were basically in combat from June 44 through to the surrender of Germany.
You figure out it's only a year. But that was a long year, I'll tell you.
How many of your comrades came back from the original group?
I think about 40. About 40.
Did you participate in the making of the movie? And how do you feel about the movie? So the first time, how did you guys watch it?
I'm Donnell. HBO invited all the Band of Brothers, that's the E Company, and their wives or widows to Paris. And then they took us to Utah Beach, and they had this huge, they called it a tent, but it was a huge temporary building. And we saw the premiere of the first two episodes. And we had lunch there, and then they took us back to Paris.
What was the reaction of the audience, the men, the widows, and yourself, who met this guy afterwards?
There were a lot of tears. I think even the men, you know, it was quite realistic, and they couldn't help but think of their friends that had been lost. And
have you been to some of the reunions?
Yeah, we go almost every year.
What strikes you about these guys when they get together?
Years ago, they used to, we always had a hospitality room. They used to drink more and smoke more and sit around and tell war stories and argue about, no, this is the way it happened, this is the way it happened. And we women would often just go out and go in the swimming pool or shopping or something.
And now?
Oh, hardly anybody smokes, and there's no smoking, and not much drinking, and there's not many guys left either.
There were 10.
How would you like the veterans from World War II, how would you like them remembered? I mean, you guys were citizen soldiers in the finest tradition of the country.
Well, we were a first-class fighting unit. I think basically because we had all that training and we were all in our early 20s. So we were a very good fighting group. I'm kind of sad about the other groups of paratroopers. I mean, there were 15 million people in that war over there, men and women. And here we are, this little group of about 140 men. Getting all this publicity, it's rather strange. Rather strange.
I think the movie Private Ryan and the movie Band of Brothers brought to attention people that didn't think about World War II, knew very little about it, and now they realize what these guys went through, all the combat veterans, not just the Band of Brothers or all the guys that had.
After the war, what did you do?
I left the Army in December of 1945, and I was in Alaska the next spring, working in a fish house in Ketchikan. And I worked in that fish house for 3 summers, and then I would go back to school in Bellingham, Washington, where I became a teacher and met my wife there. She was going to school there too. And that's where we hooked up. And then we married and started north to Alaska.
Where did you teach here in Anchorage? Which schools?
Oh, Denali was one of them. Uh-huh. North Star, and then there's, what's the one on the hill up there? Yeah, O'Malley School.
Are there some days when all of a sudden, or dates, or when the memories are stronger than others?
Oh, yeah, Veterans Day, that's when I remember. That's when I remember everything, good and bad of the war.
Do you participate in any of the ceremonies?
Actually, all you do is attend. Usually on the base, you go out there and there are a few speeches that are made. I never participated in any of them. I just, a normal rational bystander watching what's going on there in the celebrations.